Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Carmen Amaral, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe, a program featuring interviews with public figures, celebrities, writers, authors, artists, playwrights, counselors, lecturers, as well as independent artists and musicians, all here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. Hi, this is Carmen Amaros again. Today we're podcasting out of the prestigious Blue Bottle Coffee House at One Rockefeller Plaza, just across from the Rockefeller Center in New York. They are a trendy cafe chain offering an upscale coffee, drinks, and pastries. And, of course, they have beans and brewing equipment on the premises, which makes it very, very interesting. It looks really nice here. The Angels are blowing their trumpets just up the block in Mid-Channel Gardens at the heart of Rockefeller Center. But earlier, I saw some parishioners walking into St. Patrick's Cathedral, and I took a peek in there, and I saw people lighting their candles with their eyes closed, praying for their loved ones, I would imagine. Then I took a walk over to West 47th Street, and I passed the Actors Temple, and I saw some folks quietly walking in and out of the building also. You see, Hanukkah is here. The Jewish people started celebrating Hanukkah yesterday, December the 6th, here in New York and all over America. And what that is the Festival of Lights. The festival is observed by the kindling of the lights of a unique candelabrum, the nine-branch menorah, or Hanukkah. One additional light on each night on the holiday, progressing to eight on the final night. The typical menorah consists of eight branches with an additional visually distinct branch. And the extra light with which the others are lit is called a shamash and is given a distinct location, usually above or below the rest. Other Hanukkah festivities include playing dreidel and eating oil-based foods such as donuts and latkes, which I make for my husband, who's also Jewish himself. And he's also celebrating this holiday this week. Hanukkah became more widely celebrated beginning from the 1970s when Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson called for public awareness and observance of the festival and encouraged the light of public menorahs. Diane Ashton attributed the popularization of Hanukkah by some of the American Jewish community as a way to adapt to American life because they could celebrate Hanukkah, which occurs at around the same time as Christmas. I am a Christian, but nothing pleases me more than to see the menorah at around the time of Christmas. Sometimes I see the menorah in windows right next to a Christmas tree. And it pleases me because it reminds me how beautiful a country we live in, that we can all be here together and have differences in our beliefs, and yet we can live peacefully amongst each other. And that is so wonderful. With that said, I want to admonish everyone listening within the sound of my voice to remember that no matter what's happening around the world, it's important for us to remain meditative, very prayerful, very loving. Let's cast aside the hate. Let's forget how differently we worship than one another. And let's bind together as one people who live in this blue little planet that is suspended in the blackness of space. And we need for there to be peace among the people of all nations, people of all countries, people of all races, people of all religions. Please let us live in peace. Please let us protect our planet. Please let us protect human life. Let us not fight. Let there be no more war. Let us live in peace. No matter what we believe in, the most important thing is that we love one another, because we are all human. We are all one people. It's not about race. It's not about religion. It's about the humankind. We are all human beings, and we should all be trying to get along with one another. Today's guest on my program is a woman whom I've looked to for friendly spiritual advice. She's a counselor, a lover of people. I call her a healer of hearts. And she is a highly respected figure in New York City, which has been heralded by the New York Times, the Jewish Week, the Cron blog, and countless other publications. as a great rabbi, a wonderful woman in her community. She is a teacher at the Rabbinical Seminary International. Rabbi Jill has been the rabbi of the cantor of the historic Actors Temple since 2006. She served for 12 years at Borough Park Progressive Synagogue, a Reform congregation, as cantor, and for the last 2 years of that period also as their assistant rabbi. She has a background in singing and acting, having produced two recordings of German Lieder in her own English translations and one CD of contemporary song to be released next year. She has also composed music for synagogue services and has written poetry. Her Shabbat week commentaries on the weekly Torah portion have been published by the Jewish Week in New York City. Rabbi Jill, a New Jersey native, is a graduate of Smith College and received her semicha from the Rabbinical Seminary International under the guidance of Rabbi Joseph Gelberman. Other mentors include Rabbi Charles Scholzen and the composer and organist Herman Berlinski. And these are the words for which I truly admire Rabbi Jill in her testament that she sent to me for this program. She says, "Religion should be welcoming to everyone. God accepts all people. Clergy and religion should as well. Clergy should function as a conduit to God, a teacher of Torah and history and confidant. The spirit of the law is more important than the letter of the law, and love for one's neighbor precedes all else. The universal aspects of religion must take precedence over the particular aspects, which should serve to embellish observance and enrich it rather than dividing or excluding people. Each congregant is precious and important to the community. The synagogue should be a place of beauty, of learning, and of being there for each other. My aim is to give people a reason for being at the synagogue, a bit of rest, of song, of learning, of validation, or of stimulation. A person who comes to the synagogue should receive something important while there. My background is in performing as well as in religion. I have sung in opera and acted in summer stock. The Actor's Temple is a place where spirituality meets and encourages creativity." Beautiful, Rabbi Jill. Thank you for those loving words. Please join me in welcoming Rabbi Jill Houseman to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Good morning, Rabbi Jill. Thank you for being on the New York Podcasting Cafe program with me today.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, just fabulous, especially now that I have you on my program. You're a rabbi at the Actors Temple in New York.
Yes, I am.
Anyone who knows a little bit about Judaism is aware that rabbi means a teacher and decider of matters of religious law. And you also serve as a chazan. Am I saying it right, or is it chazan?
You said it correctly both times. Chazan more Hebrew. A chazan is more Yiddish. Yes, I'm also the cantor. I chant the prayers and sing the songs as well. I don't decide Jewish law much. I would have to have a much more rigorous academic education to decide matters of Jewish law. But I do interpret them for people. So that's one difference between me and many rabbis who are religious leaders of synagogues. I am more a pastoral presence. I'm there for people. I am the welcoming, open arms of religion and Judaism, and I feel that I serve the function of being an ambassador for God and religion in the best sense of the word.
That is beautiful. I love that about you and know you personally as well. The Actors Temple is famous for having been home to some of America's greatest entertainers. Can you name some of them?
Oh, definitely. We have a plaque of Jack Benny, and we have headshots of very many of the famous entertainers of the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Mm. We also have a plaque of Sophie Tucker, who was a very big supporter and a volunteer and an active member of our synagogue. Some of the others were Milton Berle, Red Buttons, Eddie Cantor, the Three Stooges, George Jessel, Al Jolson, Burt Lahr, Edward G. Robinson, Shelley Winters, Henny Youngman. Ed Sullivan actually hosted our yearly benefit, and he was a great personal friend of our first rabbi, Rabbi Bernard Burstein, who actually made this synagogue the Actors Temple by inviting all of the performers from Broadway that is so close to our historic building physically.
Wow, what a rich history. I didn't realize that there were so many famous names connected to the Actors Temple. Some people refer to the Actors Temple as the Actors Temple Theater. Is that still so?
This is a recent innovation. When I came to the Actors Temple approximately 10 years ago, we were not a theater. And we took out all of the pews. We pulled up the carpet. We ordered flexible seating. And we invited a theater manager to produce off-Broadway shows in our sanctuary. So on Friday nights, we convert back to a sanctuary for Friday nights and Saturday mornings and for holidays. And the rest of the time, we are an off-Broadway theater. We also rent rehearsal space to dance groups and performers, to schools. We are a really integral part of our community in that way, serving as a place for community groups to meet, as well as presenting theatrical performances. So we've integrated our past into our present that way by being a theater and being a fully functioning synagogue.
It works very, very well in your community. It's obvious to me how amazing the influence is in the community over at West 47th Street. You're on West 47th Street between what avenues?
8th and 9th Avenues.
Between 8th and 9th Avenues. In a New York Times article, you said that there was a pinnacle moment in which a woman made an emphatic statement that led to the Actors Temple having its first female rabbi. You know, tell us a little bit about that. Can you describe that moment, what happened, and maybe tell us who the woman was?
Oh, dear. I think perhaps what was quoted wasn't exactly what might have happened. The focus of it was a little bit skewed. I was working in a little Reform synagogue in Borough Park, Brooklyn, and I was looking for a place to bring my bar and bat mitzvah students. And I heard about the Actors Temple. I called them. And it was very sad. I came to one of their services on a Friday night. Maybe there were eight people. I came on another weekend. Maybe there were six people. And I found out they had no rabbi. And originally I was interested in finding out if I could be the rabbi. But the synagogue was so sad, and it needed so much work, that I thought, well, there must have been circumstances to produce this sadness for this synagogue. Maybe it's too difficult a job. And then I was in Whole Foods shopping for a dinner party. And, you know, Whole Foods at 59th Street, there are lots and lots of people. You don't usually see anyone you know. I happened to run into one of the few people I met at the synagogue who was an employee of the synagogue at that time. And I thought, gee, this is very strange that I would run into one of these very few people. Maybe God is tapping me on the shoulder as if to say, I need somebody to build up my house, you. So I went back and I spoke to the vice president and we arranged an interview. So he lives in New Jersey. He drove over to the synagogue. His grandfather founded the synagogue, and he's still the vice president. There was no parking place. So he said, let's do the interview in my car. I got into his car. We drove around and around and around, and I told him, no one is going to do for this synagogue what I could do for you. And he hired me. And that's how I got there.
That's true. We can see it today, how amazing the development and the progress. And I see it more and more every time that I attend an event there. It's clearly obvious, and it's wonderful.
Well, God is the one who's really building up God's house. I'm just there to help. You know, I'm the receptionist. God brings the people, and I'm there to smile and give them a hug and give them a kiss and to provide some spiritual nourishment for people and to be the connection between themselves and their own spirituality.
And the community is grateful for that. We thank you for that. Thank you.
Well, I thank you for being part of the community.
Thank you for having us. We're going to be pausing for a song. Is there a song you'd like to introduce for this part of the program?
I'd love to. Thank you. This is a Schubert song, Faith in Spring, and it's in my own English translation. I sing German Lieder and other classical music, and this is from a CD I made.
Thank you. We're back. That was beautiful. You sing like a bird, Rabbi Jill.
Thank you. It's I should have mentioned the name of my CD. It's called Lieder in Our Language. Love, Life, Lieder. Lieder means song in German.
Okay. And, we'll make note of that.
Thank you.
We'll announce it again so that the audience knows where to go at the end of the interview.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the Actors Temple is both a spiritual place of peace as well as a cultural center in the community, which to me is wonderful. Is there a formula for keeping a balance and not letting the Actors Temple lose its true spiritual mission?
I think there is a hierarchy here. We are a synagogue first. We exist to be a place of service and a place of spirituality and a house of God in the community. If we abandon that as our highest value, we lose our soul. Mm-hmm. We have to know that we're there for people, and we're there to serve the divine. We are there to be a refuge, and we're there to celebrate life cycle events, to comfort people in times of sorrow, to celebrate with them in times of joy, and to also be a place of intellectual and spiritual inquiry, where ideas and questions are respected, and where people can really feel comfortable and accepted. That acceptance for people, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, is key to our mission. We say that we're a place of acceptance, spirituality, and creativity. And I think that is a good way to look at the function that we strive to fulfill. First, we're there for acceptance, and then we're there for spirituality, and then we're there for creativity. And we encourage people to share their talents as well. So we're there for the whole person, not just their spiritual side, but as a creative community, we're there for people to realize their highest personal expression, spiritually, intellectually, creatively.
I see. As a cantor, what was it like to make the transition for you from secular singing to cantoring? And is there one that you enjoy more than the other?
I've always done both. When I was in high school, I used to drive to Friday night services and sing with the paid professional choir in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
And I was very fortunate that the synagogue that my parents belonged to had one of the foremost Jewish composers of the time as the head of music at that synagogue. So I learned the entire service. I learned very many of the compositions that had been composed for synagogue worship. And I had a thorough musical education without even being aware that that was happening in a liturgical sense. So that when I also pursued non-liturgical singing, it was actually a component, a facet of my life, but not my only focus for singing. I'd always done both, and when I moved to New York City, I continued to do both. So I don't feel that I'm mostly one or mostly the other. I enjoy doing both. Every musician is described as Catholic in the larger sense of the word. We do it all. We do crossover, we do religious, we do classical, you know, wherever the job is, whatever people are interested in, that's what we provide.
Do you still do performances in classical and other genres, you know, outside of the temple, or do you have recitals and things like that?
I do it mostly at the synagogue. Occasionally, there are outside opportunities. I find that I am so busy and booked at the synagogue that I don't have much time to pursue outside events. But I am very slowly making a third CD of contemporary classical music, one of which is by the composer Gerald Busby to my own poetry. And it's a song cycle called Animals Like Me. And it'll be on my third CD. So I like to mix non-liturgical singing in with the religious singing. The religious singing is wonderful. You can just put your whole heart into it. And I strive to do that as well in my classical singing. I'm planning to sing a Handel aria for our Hanukkah celebration.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That'll be in December.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to hear it.
Thank you. I hope that you'll perform also at our Hanukkah celebration.
Thank you. I would love that very much.
You and your wonderful pianist husband, Ira.
Thank you. He will definitely be there. We will both be there. That's for sure. Can you please introduce the next song and tell us a little bit about that?
This is a song by Richard Strauss. From a song cycle that is not performed very often because it require so many different kinds of sopranos to sing all of the songs. This is called I Would Have Brought You Flowers, and it's a little bit of a humorous song. It's also in my English translation from the German, and it's about a man who's waiting for his beloved, and she never shows up, and he is a little bit sad, but he makes a joke about the fact that he's waiting for her and she never comes.
Okay, thank you. I Would Have Brought You Flowers by Rabbi Jill. Indeed, that is a beautiful song. I love the tone of your voice, the sound of your voice, so angelic and so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And you're welcome. Being a rabbi in Cantor, in a famous shul in the heart of New York, right on West 47th Street between 8th and 9th Avenues in New York, I have to make sure I have the address right. That can seem like an exciting profession to many people, but you alone know the daunting aspects of surviving in New York City and what it's like to fill the shoes of Rabbi Jill Housman. What are the challenges that you face in making sure that the Actors Temple remains an active and integral spiritual part of New York City in the 21st century?
This is a difficult question.
I'm sorry.
It's very important for us to remain true to our values. It's easy to say what you stand for, and sometimes it's difficult to actually live those values. And every day, I think a synagogue is challenged by how we react to the people who come and their needs and requests. And we always try to balance the continuance of the synagogue and being there for people who need us. So it might seem like a glamorous job, but actually, people's lives are very difficult. And as any adult knows, life is not a bed of roses. So to have a place where people can come to talk to me, to know that I'm with them and the community is there for them, that's the highest service that we can provide to people and to God, to actually live our values. to help people, to not be an institution, but to be a personal friend, to hold people's hands, and to help them to find the solution to their own problems, not alone, but with help and support. So there's a lot of fun in being the rabbi of the Actors Temple. We have celebrities who come. I remember standing in the Actors Temple and somebody said, did Sid Caesar ever come here? And I said to them, that person, I don't think Sid Caesar ever came. I never remember hearing his name. So the person standing next to that person said, well, I'll just call him and ask him. So I was standing in the synagogue, and I called Sid Caesar, and I said hello, and we spoke, and, you know, these amazing things happen. Mm-hmm. We have had celebrities come for services, and I've gone to shows and memorials. I just went to the memorial for Ann Mira, where Jerry Stiller spoke, and Ben Stiller spoke, and Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary sang, and, you know, it's very exciting. Yeah. They're wonderful things that I experience. But the day-to-day is to be there for people no matter who they are. Jackie Mason doesn't always come and listen to me sing, as he did one day. Mm-hmm. I got to speak to him, and now when I pass him on the street near where he lives, he says hi, and I say hi to him. that's not the bread and butter. That's not, you know, the everyday. Mm-hmm. The everyday is that my heart is open for people who come to me.
You know, it's visible, and everybody there loves you. When you look at the people of New York City who come to the temple, what do you realize they're in most need of? Sounds like a maybe too simple a question, but...
Well, people's needs are very various. Mm. Sometimes people want to celebrate a life cycle event. They have a baby to be named, or they are getting married. Perhaps they'll come to remember a parent, to pay honor and tribute to someone in their family who has passed away. Sometimes we have a bar or bat mitzvah. I teach a lot of people. I teach children for their bar and bat mitzvah, and it's a pleasure and privilege to lead people to the Torah, to bring children to understanding the Torah and having a relationship to it. And I work with many people who have a desire to convert to Judaism. And it's a pleasure and privilege to see them form their own connections to the Holy Scriptures and to their own spirituality through a Jewish lens. So we're there for the everyday. We're there in times of illness. We're there in times of strength. And... there's no one thing that we provide except on Friday night. We provide a sense of rest and peace and consolation. We we help comfort people, not in acute times of sadness, but after the bruising energies of the week are over. And we can sit together and let our souls come out and play.
Beautiful. Rabbi Joe, this is the season where the Judeo-Christian holidays sort of overlap or fall close together. Do you have any advice for people who find themselves alone during this season? Some people don't have families, or they get a little bit down. They may be out of sorts for whatever reason. Do you have anything that you can share with the community about what to do, perhaps where to go during this holiday season?
Well, you can come to the Actors Temple no matter where you are or who you are. We have a wonderful Hanukkah celebration. But on a more serious note, I would say there are many people who have no family. And there are many people whose families do not provide the love and support that we think families should provide. As performers, we're all the walking wounded. There are people, there are reasons why performers perform. Mm-hmm. We need to open our hearts to each other, and perhaps we haven't been able to do it in a family setting, which is why we do it in the larger community, in the larger world. So if we don't find the love in our families that we're told should be there, the world is very big. There are so many people who we can love and who can love us. So if you don't have family, gather with friends. If you don't have friends, go out and make some. There are celebrations all around town. Call a friend. Call someone who you haven't been in contact with and say, I was thinking of you. Are you free? Shall we make a date? There is a teaching in which God says to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. And that doesn't seem to make sense. God should say, we think, walk with me and be perfect, or walk after me and be perfect. But God says, walk before me. God says, you take the first step, and I'll come behind you and give you all the blessings that your own efforts have produced. So if you're sad, call someone, meet a friend, go out and make a friend, find a place for a meetup, talk to other people. There are many, many people who would love to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And in the December holidays, we can feel the love of many different people. It's in the air. People are kinder, nicer to each other, more generous during the December holidays. And if you can feel that love, then you can pass it on to the next person.
Thank you, Rabbi Jill. I would love for you to introduce this next song. Can you introduce that for us?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you. As the Actors Temple is a place for all people, no matter who they are, this song is a little bit like that. A person sees a flower and has compassion for that flower. The flower cries out to him, don't pick me. Don't kill me. And he feels the compassion. He feels the humanity and the life of that flower calling out to him. And it also is a little bit of a comic song, but it has heart. And it is also by Franz Schubert in my own English translation.
And the title of the song again is?
Meadow Rose. It's from my first CD, Leader in Our Language.
Thank you. Here's the song Meadow Rose by Rabbi Jill Hausman.
What's a young lad's spider rose? Red rose in the meadow. Lovely, tender, fair was she. Fast as fast he ran to see. And he loved her beauty. Rose, oh, rose, oh, dear rose. Red rose in the
in order for a person to be spiritual, to feel consoled, to have direction in life, to be able to find answers to a lot of the questions that they may have. What would the solution be in these modern times?
I think that as some of the thinkers across all religious lines have said, people are becoming more spiritual on the inside. There is more of a universality of spirituality among people. There's more intermarriage. And this is allowing people to build bridges across religious lines and across mm-hmm. denominations. This is a wonderful thing that's happening. And it allows people to come to synagogues and churches mm-hmm. with an expanded consciousness that we as religious leaders have to be aware of and mm-hmm. be living in the same universe as the people who come to us. Very often, religious institutions are conservative, but unless we are on the front lines of this expanded spirituality that is happening in our society, we can't be there for people. So we have to live in an interfaith universe, mm-hmm. and we have to be there for people no matter where they are spiritually, and we have to know that people's relationship to their own spirituality goes way beyond the confines of mm-hmm. any religious institution like a church or a synagogue. So mm-hmm. in order for us to be there for people, we have to reflect that expansion in what we do.
Wow, that's powerful. So it doesn't matter what religion or what denomination we're from, the important thing is to consider the next person as our brother, our sister. It doesn't matter. It transcends religion. Our relationships with each other actually transcend religion.
Absolutely. There's no them and there's no us. There's only us. Mm-hmm. We're all brothers and sisters for each other. We're connected to each other. We share one life. We share one soul. We share one earth. Mm-hmm. And this consciousness is slowly becoming known. And mm-hmm. it's up to religious leaders and also political leaders to begin to speak about this, that mm-hmm. we share one life, we share one earth, we share one soul, we're connected. There are no others. There's only one human family. And we as religious leaders have to be there for everyone in the human family.
Where does a religious leader start in trying to bring that unity among people of different backgrounds and beliefs? Like,
it starts with an inner dialogue. It starts with us walking along the street, looking at other people, and saying, that person is my brother, that person is my sister. And for us religious leaders, it's about speaking, about changing the inner dialogue to help people to shift their own consciousness to a greater acceptance and a greater mm-hmm. consciousness that we're part of each other, that we're connected. It starts with the person. Mm-hmm. We have many holidays, we have many services, we have many events. We can only touch one soul at a time. What you are doing by podcasting is a wonderful way to get the message out to people who may not be in one of my services. This is mm-hmm. an amazing thing that we have. We have right. the internet that goes across the entire world. And one person sitting in an office can be heard by millions of people, potentially. Mm-hmm. So if I can touch one person's mind to shift their understanding of how to relate to other people, then that's huge. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for that.
What I'm doing is I'm just a conduit. I'm just a channel, basically.
Me too. I'm just a conduit. I'm just a channel.
It's important for there to be an us and not a them or others. We all work together to make things happen. You know, we're all used in different ways.
Certainly. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Rabbi Joel, it's been marvelous having you here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you for joining me here.
Thank you so much, Carmen. It's been
a great
pleasure.
Thank you.
You've been listening to an interview with Cantor and Rabbi Joel Houseman, who's the rabbi of the historically rich Actors Temple at West 47th Street, New York City. If you'd like to reach Rabbi Jill, you can reach her either at www.cantorweddings.com if you'd like to have her come in and sing for your Jewish or interfaith wedding. And also you can reach her through the Actors Temple website, which is at www.theactorstemple.org site. Rabbi Jill's recordings can be found at allmusic.com. You can also find them at iTunes.com and at CDBaby.com. The titles are Life, Love, Leader, Leader in Our Language, Volume 2 by Jill Houseman on All Music. And you can get The Leader in Our Language by Jill Houseman in iTunes. And you can also preview, buy, and download Leader in Our Language for, I think it's $9.99, Life, Love, and Leader by Jill Houseman at cdbaby.com. So her recordings are everywhere. By all means, please go to the websites and buy her recordings. You've heard some marvelous singing here today, and the lady is not only a wonderful leader, rabbi, and counselor, she's also an amazing singer, and I want to thank her for being on our program. I wish all of the Jewish people in America, in New York, and across the world a very happy Hanukkah.